Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your word is powerful, and your word is alive. And Lord Jesus, reveal yourself to us tonight. Reveal your glory to us. In Jesus' name, come and fill each person here with your glory, Lord Jesus, as we behold the glory of the Lord from the Word of God. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us in Jesus' name, and we will give you, Lord Jesus, all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, we looked at a number of scriptures from the Old Testament, and I will probably quote a few more, and I'm going to look at these in a moment. And you might say, well, these are wonderful scriptures, but how does this relate to the New Testament? Right? Come on. Wait a minute. I need some feedback. This is a Pentecostal church, isn't it? Then you got to sound like one. Okay? Amen?
Amen?
All right. Hallelujah. And if you don't like what I say, you can even say boo, but at least make some noise. All right. And by the way, thank you, Pat and Sarah, for having us here. It's been a long time since I've stood here. Wow. But we've had some glorious times here. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. All right. So, let's look at this. I want to talk about the glory of the Lord filling the temple. Now, let me ask you guys this. What did Paul tell us about the temple of the Lord or the temple of the Holy Spirit? Hello? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. All right? Hello? So then, when we look at these passages, it must have something to do with something filling us. Uh-oh. Okay? So what does that look like? So let me just share this also with you. And how the Lord brought me onto this. We have last year, at the beginning of the year, before COVID, I know it already broken out in Wuhan, in China and a few other places. And there were people already here, including, I think, Pat himself, Pastor Pat, that got COVID right at the beginning of last year. So people already were getting it, even though nobody knew what it was. But before all the lockdown and everything, the Lord spoke to us to start a Bible study with a group of young adults at the beginning of last year on the book of Acts. And so, and then we went and ministered in Turkey. And while we were in Turkey, the whole world shut down. And we were on one of the very last flights out of Turkey before everything came to a halt. And so then everything went on to Zoom, right? Are you guys familiar with Zoom?
Yes.
All right. So, and then we realized we can do more. So this one Bible study turned into three different ones at three different times during the week. And once we could open up again, we continued with these young adults, and now there were more young adults that joined us. And so we went through last year, and then we decided to do it again, and most of them were on board and said, yes, we want to do this again. And the second time, the Lord even opened up the Word of God even more to us. And what it was so fascinating, I don't know about you, but I was always brought up, and when I came into the things of the Holy Spirit, we always said that the book of Acts reveals to us the work of the Holy Spirit, right? I want to say this to you. When we started going verse by verse through the book of Acts, I found out it's not about the Holy Spirit. So what was it about? Jesus. The book of Acts is all about Jesus. What a discovery. It was so powerful. So we would start, because Acts 1 starts basically with the resurrection and then talking about how the Lord Jesus appeared to his disciples and then the ascension, right? So then I did a whole study on the ascension. And the Lord revealed things about the ascension. I had never heard anybody preach on the ascension. And I tell you, the Lord just started opening it up. And so then the Lord just started stirring me more and more about the day of Pentecost. And so, how many of you remember Peter on the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit had fell, and they were thrown out of the upper room, and the crowd had gathered, and here Peter stands, and he starts preaching. And where does he quote from when he starts preaching? Hello? Joel 2:28, right? And it says afterwards, and Peter changes it, and he says, in the last days. And do you guys believe we're in the last days? Well, the last days started on the day of Pentecost. So we've always been. So we're in the last days. We're probably in the last of the last days, we think, okay? But anyway, so he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters. And we have some younger adults here. So you will see visions. And the old, the elderly here amongst us, or the more mature, will have dreams. Okay, a few of you are glad about that. All right? And then he says, and I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy, and so on. And then he says, I will show wonders in the heavens and signs on the earth. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but I've always looked at those signs as something that's still coming. Hello? But it says, signs on the earth, blood, fire, and billows of smoke, the NIV says. Some translation says clouds of smoke. Okay? So, the blood, on the day that the Lord Jesus was crucified, there's some that believe, and I'm just throwing this out. I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord. Are you with me? That there was a possibility that that night there was a blood moon. But blood was shed. And many of the people that were there in Jerusalem knew about the fact that Jesus had been crucified. Okay? Fire just fell. Because they saw tongues of fire. But what about the billows of smoke? What is that? Have you ever thought of that? Well, I had not for a long time, but this year, as we were going through the book of Acts again, the Lord started stirring me and saying, look at this, what is this? Now, also, in our spirit-filled community, and especially over the last 10 to 20 years, there's been a tremendous emphasis on the glory of the Lord. Is that true? A lot of teaching, a lot of people speaking. But whenever we speak about the glory of the Lord, it's always about when Moses says, show me your glory. Right? So we, in terms of our teaching on the glory of the Lord, in a sense, we were stuck with Moses. And I've always said there must be a way that we can bring that what happened to Moses into the new and find out what does it look like in the New Testament. Because we cannot live just in the old and be stuck there. There must be more for us now. Now, when the Lord Jesus comes, John writes in John 1, he says, I think it's verse 14, he says, we beheld his glory the glory of the one and only Son of God. So when we look at Jesus in the Gospels, in the ministry of Jesus, we see God's glory being revealed to us. And John 2, Jesus goes to Nazareth, and there is a wedding, and they run out of wine. Okay? And, you know, and this is not a good thing for a wedding, I understand. Anyway, I'm very conservative. I believe it's better not to drink, but anyway. So whenever I look at this thing, I'm like, Jesus, what are you doing here? So they run out of wine. And Mary comes, the mother of Jesus, comes to Jesus and say, they have a problem here. You better do something. You see, she started putting pressure on the birth canal. Hello? For the ministry of Jesus to be birthed. Okay? He says, mother, it's not my time. Or woman, it's not my time yet. She ignores him. She says to the people, like a good mother, right? Some of the younger ones here, is this how mothers are? You tell them something and they ignore you. They have their mind made up. Okay? She says to the servants, whatever he tells you, just do it. And so he says, you know, fill it with water, go and take it to the head steward, and they say, this is bitter wine. You've kept the best wine for last. But then this verse, it says there, through this sign, this miracle that took place, the people saw, his disciples saw his glory. So the miracle that Jesus did revealed his glory, and it says they put their faith in him. Okay? So then we see later on when when Lazarus, who was his friend, dies. He says, this sickness is not unto death, but to the glory of God. Now, nowadays, people sometimes will quote that scripture, and depending on where you are, if you believe in miracles, then you believe this: the glory that will come is the person will get healed, or people will just kind of say, you know, well, whatever the Lord wants to do. But this is not what Jesus was saying. He was going to reveal his glory. So he gets there and he waits. He doesn't go immediately. He waits a few days. How many of you know the possibility of Lazarus being raised from the dead is getting less and less? Okay? Then he goes there. And here comes Martha. And, you know, sometimes our picture of Martha is Martha that's always busy and minding everything and saying Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus and she has to do all the work. And we look at Martha that way, right? But I want to tell you, when you look at this passage, you see a different picture of Martha. She might have been busy, but she caught who Jesus is. Because when he comes, she said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But then Jesus says to her, did I not tell you, you will see my glory? And then she said this, I know that in the last day he will rise. And then Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And she says, I believe that you are the Son of God. Wow. Okay? So he goes to the grave, and again, this is so powerful. Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. I mean, if Jesus had just said, come forth, they would have been pandemonium. Sorry? All the dead people. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And here comes Lazarus. Lazarus. And the glory of Jesus is revealed in this miracle. Now, in the upper room, after he had introduced the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus starts to teach his disciples about the Holy Spirit. He lays out, he unpacks the new covenant. Because the Lord's Supper is the new covenant meal, right? So from chapter 14 to 17, he is unpacking the new covenant. And central to it is the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Okay? Right? So, this is now what Jesus did. And then he said in that, in chapter 16, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, what will the Holy Spirit do? He will glorify me, the Lord Jesus. In other words, the Holy Spirit will bring glory to Jesus. Wow. Okay? Now, we go back to these scriptures that we looked at, that Helena read for us. And some of you might say, well, how am I going to get back to where we have just been? Let me show you. So, the Lord tells Moses to make the tabernacle with the Holy of Holies, with the Ark of the Covenant in there, the holy place, and then the outer court, right? And so he constructs this all through the Exodus, the book of Exodus. He's giving these instructions. And now by the end of the book of Exodus in chapter 40, that tabernacle is complete. And they are going to now, inaugurate this tabernacle. And what happens? The cloud of the glory of the Lord comes and fills the tabernacle. In other words, the glory of God, that cloud comes inside and fills the tabernacle. So much so that Moses could not stand to anymore. And it clearly tells us how. And then as they progressed, actually this started in in Egypt. Because the moment they had taken the sacrifice lamb that was the Passover lamb and had slaughtered that, from that moment on, as they started to move out, this cloud was leading them. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 and 2, using the Israelites as an example and a metaphor to explain to us New Testament principles, he says they were all came through the sea and were all under the cloud. He's there referring to the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because he says they were baptized into Moses. Moses stands for the Lord Jesus. When we get born again, we are baptized into the body of Christ, all right, by the Holy Spirit. He says they were baptized into Moses, into the sea. That is the Red Sea. When you come through the waters of baptism, believer's baptism in water, that is that baptism. You're coming out of Egypt. right? And he says they were baptized in the cloud. That is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So the cloud in the Old Testament there in the wilderness represents the Holy Spirit. And now the Lord says there that when that cloud filled them and the cloud started to move, wherever the cloud moved, they had to move. So wherever the Holy Spirit moves, we have to move. We have to follow the Holy Spirit, right? So now, going to that scripture in Leviticus 9, it is so powerful. This is the tabernacle has been set up. The priests have been anointed. In the New Testament, who are the priests? We are, right? So look at us now, every one of you, being anointed by the Holy Spirit for the work of the ministry, what the Lord Jesus wants you to do. How many of you know it is not just Pastor Pat, that is the one that has to do all the ministry here? What? Every one of you are called. Say, take your finger and point to yourself and says, he's talking to me. Every one of us is called to minister. Come on. So we're all priests in the New Testament. So now they have to start their ministry. And so they've done everything prepared. And now he says, you are going to see the glory of the Lord. What is the first thing that Aaron does? He makes a sacrifice. What does every sacrifice in the Old Testament point to? To Jesus on the cross, right? That is where the sacrifice was made. The cross was the altar on which Jesus was sacrificed as the sacrificed Passover lamb for us. He is the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for us on the cross. So all those sacrifices point to that. Now, in verse 22 there, it says that after Moses and Aaron, after Aaron had done all the sacrifices, it says he raised his hands to bless the people. Is there a point in the Gospels where the Lord Jesus raises his hands? Sorry? To bless them. Is there a point where he does that? Do any of you know? After his resurrection, the day that he is about to be taken into heaven, he's on the Mount of Olives with his disciples. He had just given them Acts 1:8, saying, you will receive power. Actually, the disciples are asking Jesus, are you now at this time going to restore the Republican Party? Are you going to restore Trump now? And Jesus says, it's none of your business. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That is our call today. Stop looking at the politics. Even concerning the virus and the vaccine. Don't get messed up with all of that. It's time for us to focus on what Jesus wants to do in this country concerning the lost souls. And the political situation is not going to help it. Uh-oh. Hello. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Okay. So at that same time, and this is very fascinating, some of you might not realize this, but Mark 16 verse 15 follows right after Acts 1:8. When Jesus says you will receive power to be my, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to speak in tongues, right? That's what he said, right? What did he say? To be witnesses. I do that on purpose. Anyway, all right. So, and then it says right after that, he raised his hands. Oh, sorry, no, I'll come to that in a moment. He was lifted up and ascended to heaven right after Acts 1:8. Verse 9 says that. Now in Mark 16, verse 15, it says at another time, he was with them and he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Whoever believes and are baptized will be saved. And then he says, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, in the name of Jesus, you will drive out evil spirits. The second thing Jesus says there is, you will speak in tongues. Hello? It's in the red letters. Jesus is the first one to talk about speaking in tongues. It ain't coming from the devil. And Jesus said, if you are one of his disciples, in the name of Jesus, you must speak in tongues. Ha. Hallelujah. And then he does something strange. He says, and if you drink any deadly poison or pick up snakes. So we're going to start a Pentecostal snake handling church. No, that's not at all what Jesus is about. In fact, Jesus said, you will trample on snakes and scorpions. But this has to do with when you go out into the harvest, as Pastor Pat has been in Africa, where there's sometimes he goes to areas where there's more snakes than around here. If a snake bites you, like what happened to Paul in Acts 28, he just shook off the snake into the fire and kept on. It's that kind of protection. But I also believe it's spiritual authority over all the powers of darkness. Jesus said, I give you authority and power to trample on snakes and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. And then he says, you will lay hands on the sick and you will recover. And then it says Jesus ascends to heaven. So can you see Mark 16 and Acts 1:8 is in the same conversation. In the same conversation that Jesus says you will receive power, he said you will speak in tongues when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Wow. Okay. Now, he has said all of this, and then Luke tells us in Luke 24, he raised his hands and blessed them. And as he was doing that, he was taken up into heaven. Aaron raised his hands and blessed the people. What is the next thing that happens in Leviticus 9? It says, the glory of the Lord appears and fire falls from heaven. What happens after Jesus raises his hands and blessed them and he sends to heaven? What happened 10 days later? Fire fell from heaven. Come on. So let's see this also. And there in 2 Chronicles 5 and then 7, it continues also. They were worshiping the Lord at the inauguration of Solomon's temple. And the glory of the Lord comes down in a cloud. And what does this cloud of glory do? It fills the temple so that the priests could not do their work. And then it tells us there that then, I think this is chapter 7, that then after Solomon had finished speaking, fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifices as the glory filled the temple. Wow. Okay. Now, It tells us there in Ezekiel, again, this picture is being repeated prophetically. He says, as he was there, been taken from Babylon, he was taken by the Spirit through the glory of the Lord to Jerusalem, and the Lord showed him the temple. And then he said that this cloud of the glory of the Lord came and filled the temple, and the radiance of God's glory was in the temple. Okay? Now comes the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit falls on 120 small temples. Come on. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He fills them. And there is fire. Tongues of fire comes and settles on each one of them. Because the sacrifice had already been made. And they now have to start their ministry. Wow. And it tells us in Isaiah 63, we didn't read this, but you can go and read this from verse 11. And it talks of how the Holy Spirit was the one that led them out of Egypt in the wilderness. So that, and then 1 Peter 4, and I forgot now what verse it is, but in 1 Peter 4, Peter writes and he tells us that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of glory. So I want to say to you, I believe this, that the cloud of glory that you see over the temple and filling the temple in the Old Testament, when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, that cloud came and lived on the inside of you. Wow. Isn't that powerful? That cloud of glory. Came to live on the inside of you. You have now become a carrier of the glory of the Lord. Wow. Wherever, now understand this, we are preparing and believing the Lord that there is coming a harvest move, a revival, an outpouring of God's Spirit that is going to shake this nation and the world. It's not here yet, but we're anticipating it. But it's going to be with this kind of glory. And when Peter stands up, what does he do? He starts to reveal Jesus. Wow. This glory that has filled him of the Holy Spirit now is when he opens his mouth and the Holy Spirit comes out of his mouth in power and conviction. He is revealing Jesus. Isn't this amazing? I want to show you one more thing concerning this. So, how many of you remember that, I mean, Peter, wherever he went, the Lord started using him in miracles, right? Yeah. But now think of this Peter. Because this is the Peter that denied the Lord Jesus three times. Do you understand that by the time the day of Pentecost came, he had been a broken man. You see, the Lord Jesus knew that the Peter before the day of before the cross had to die. He could do things, but in his own strength, in his flesh. And his flesh would get in the way all the time. He had foot and mouth disease. Come on. And Jesus knew, the Lord Jesus knew, I cannot use this man the way he is. He's got to be broken. As tragic as that denial was, it was the breaking of Peter for him to die. And when he gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, he is set on fire. The Peter of the day of Pentecost was not the same Peter of 50 days earlier. Come on. So now we know what happens at the gate. Beautiful, and not going to look into that now. But once the miracle takes place, he starts preaching the gospel. But then they get persecuted and they pray and they say, Lord, you see what is happening, what the rulers have done. They came against your Holy One. They pray Psalm 2. And then they said, and I love this. I mean, for us here in Western culture, when we get a little bit trouble in the world concerning the things of the Lord, we shrink back. We say, I better keep my mouth shut, right? Is this true or not? Come on. You know what they prayed? They said, Lord, make us more bold. Give us more trouble. And the Holy Spirit came down and filled them again. More glory came. Now watch what happens. Because now we see in chapter 5 that there comes, it says there was great grace upon them and great power that they witnessed in and through signs and wonders. That word great there is the word mega. They now had mega grace and mega power. But then you see Peter, it says, that wherever Peter went, people wanted to be near him so that even if his shadow would fall on them, they would be healed, right? And we've heard people preach and say, man, you need to have such an anointing, your shadow will just heal people. And we've misunderstood what happened there. First of all, it was only with Peter that it was to this level, not the rest of the apostles even. So this was sovereignly what the Lord did. But that word shadow is the Greek word means to overshadow. It literally means a cloud. And it is used only 5 times in the New Testament, this word. The first time is when it says the Holy Spirit, in Luke chapter 1, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and she conceived. Okay? The next 3 times is every time when the Lord Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration and that cloud enveloped him. That overshadowing cloud of glory is the same word for the shadow of Peter. In other words, Peter had a big cloud. And whoever came into the proximity of this cloud got healed. Hello? It's that glory. Can you see this? But now let me say this. Each one of you have a little cloud. It might not be as big as Peter's cloud. Come on. But you have a cloud. Wherever you go, the Holy Spirit is going with you. And we need to start to expect this overshadowing anointing of the glory of the Lord coming through us and touching people and people hearing the gospel and people getting saved and healed and delivered. Not just in the building. We've got to take it out. This cloud is for outside. Because you are in the temple of the Holy Spirit. And He's come to live with the cloud of glory. All these scriptures about the glory cloud in the Old Testament, those scriptures now found reality inside of us when we got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Wow! Isn't this powerful? This is what the Lord wants to do in our day. And I know Pat has been teaching you and preparing you for the coming revival and stirring you to believe the Lord for an outpouring of the glory of the Lord. This is the glory that Jesus wants to bring, so that when we are full of the glory of the Holy Spirit and we open our mouth, we will declare Jesus to the lost. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your glory. We thank you that your word is so rich and so powerful. And that you have knitted it together from beginning to end. And Lord Jesus, we sang tonight about your coming. That is the ultimate glory that we are still waiting for. And we want to be ready. But before you come, we know you are calling us to right now be ready to be used in your glory to touch the lost and to reveal the glory of Jesus to a world that does not know you. That's why you've anointed us with your Holy Spirit and filled us with the Holy Spirit and with power and filled us with this cloud of glory of the Holy Spirit so that we will reveal the glory of Jesus. Come and refresh your glory in us tonight, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.